Welcome back, everybody. This is Season 2, Episode 14 of Chronic Health, the health and wellness podcast of Greystone Chiropractic. I'm your fearless chiropractor, friendly neighborhood chiropractor, Lee Goldenberg.
I'm Teresa.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Anna.
Sarah.
And we're here with bells on today because we have lots of research we wanted to go through and talk a little bit more about all the wonders of chiropractic and natural healthcare. And some of the things that we have really been perusing are not just things that are dealing with pain, as you might know as a listener. We don't want to just sit around and talk about how people feel after an adjustment. We want to talk about function and how life has changed and how impactful natural healthcare can be for somebody's current and future. So with that said, we want to talk a little bit about some of this case studies and reports and studies that we keep abreast of. One of the ones that I have just recently noticed, it's actually not a new one. It's one I've always go back to when I'm looking at how cardiovascular system health is affected by chiropractic care. They did this study back in 2007. George Bakris, who was a medical doctor and researcher in Chicago area, and he got together with some chiropractors and wanted to see the benefit or the impact of chiropractic care, nervous system health on blood pressure. And they actually compared two groups, really three groups, a chiropractic group, people who would get adjusted with when they had high blood pressure, then another group of people who were getting no adjustment but blood pressure medication, two blood pressure meds, and then another group who was fake adjusted, meaning a sham adjustment. That's hard to fake, but if you've never been adjusted, you don't know really what to expect. So they had these three groups, and they found no change with the sham adjustment, duh. So the people that got medication had a reduction in blood pressure. The people that had adjustments without medication had the same exact reduction of blood pressure as the people who were medicated. So this study, and it wasn't a huge study, it was probably 25 or 30 different participants, but enough of an impact on all of the chiropractic patients that they said, wow, this needs to be really evaluated and let's look at this because that can have an impact on people's health if they're not on as many blood pressure meds, which can affect all other things too. Yeah. And also if they looked at lifestyle, how much even more could they have improved, as in like how they eat, how they exercise, how they think, how they deal with stress, how they sleep. Imagine the impact, you know, if we can deal with more than just one thing. So they found, you know, positive impact. So you might say, well, how on earth does chiropractic care reduce blood pressure?
Yeah.
There are many different ways. So they've done studies on heart rate variability, which is also an indication of how healthy or ill somebody is chronically. And they found that chiropractic care helps regulate heart rate variability and reduce the fight or flight mechanism, which is stress induction. Basically, when you're in fight or flight physiology, you're in stress, constant stress. And when you're in constant stress, is your blood pressure low? Or is it high?
No.
Yeah. So think about that. We're reducing cortisol, which is helping the stress physiology reduce. So you're not in constant over cortisol activity, over stress. Also, they find that with the top area of the spine, which is atlas, which is this study actually was working on atlas to correct the very top bone in the neck to help with blood pressure. And they found that, you know, because blood pressure regulation is signaled by that part, the lower part of the brain, if you have pressure on the brain stem, which is right under that, which is what becomes the spinal cord, that can affect the way somebody is regulating blood pressure. So they find when you take care of the adrenals, meaning cortisol production and stress, and you take care of the very top of the spine, those areas will help you deal with blood pressure more and regulate it better. That doesn't mean it's a cure for blood pressure issues or hypertension, but when the body works better, just like anything we say, mm-hmm. when the nervous system works better, the brain can connect better, you're healthier.
That's so true. You know, and that's, I love what you said about how, you know, when you're helping, when you're getting adjusted, you're helping everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you were saying, you take blood pressure medication, you take any kind of medication. Yeah, you're helping. It's that one thing helping that one thing, but then there could all be the other effects.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me think of those commercials and, you know, like, they're like, oh yeah, cause like dry mouth, anxiety, death, you know. Like,
there's several minutes worth of yes. Here are the side effects. But look, I'm not saying, look, medication isn't ever necessary. Of course, you know, if somebody's got to be on something, they've got to do it.
No,
and hopefully for less amount of time, but not forever. But like, look, if we could avoid some of it or reduce some of it, wouldn't that be great on the body?
If there's a natural option, why not take the natural option?
Let's look at it.
Less invasive is better.
Mm-hmm. Let the body do its thing.
So I know that we were talking about like just things that you normally wouldn't think about with chiropractic skin. I think we're talking about...
Oh, yeah.
Amanda?
So, mm-hmm. So I had found a study that was done on a child undergoing chiropractic care. The child had come in, was brought in by her mom, and she had several things going on at the same time, including otitis media, or regularly known as ear infections. She had difficulty sleeping and tactile hypersensitivity, which is the skin issue that is tying in. But her mom started bringing her in when she was 2 to see the chiropractor.
I'm so sorry. What's tactile sensitivity? That sounds technical.
It's basically when you're really irritable when you're touched.
Oh.
Yes.
Looks like a sensory thing.
Yeah. Hypersensory. Right. Mm-hmm. So we see that a lot with kids with sensory processing issues.
Yes.
Oversensory. Mm-hmm. Even tags and shirts. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with that too. But like tags and shirts or something itchy or something mm-hmm. too tight, like socks bother them or certain shoelaces. And just so many little things that mm-hmm. we may not notice, but somebody with tactile hypersensitivity is right. going to be set off.
Exactly.
And they'll pull their clothes off, honestly, mm-hmm. a lot of times when they're little kids.
Right.
And because they can't stand it.
Right. Exactly. Yep. And so this child had severe skin sensitivities to clothes and even sensitivities to being touched or held.
And that's so
can you imagine that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To the mom.
Right.
Or...
and the baby. They need.
Right.
They need
that. Because it's a young baby. Yeah. And she preferred to not wear any clothes because the skin would get irritated even by clothes and did not like to be held or cuddled and was very particular about things touching her and about being touched. But after regular adjustments or after 2 months of regular adjustments, mm-hmm. she came in and was, you know, very tactile with others. You know, she was giving everyone hugs. And then her mother stated that clothes were no longer an issue.
Wow.
But she was still having trouble wearing socks and shoes, but you know, patient kept coming.
My daughter still has trouble wearing socks. Yeah.
I mean, me too, if I'm being honest.
If we're being honest.
And after 4 months of care, she started to notice that skin sensitivities had resolved completely and she did not have any issues being held or touched. Yes. And
so sensory processing mm-hmm. regulation. That's
right.
huge.
That's going from like not being able to cuddle your mom
right.
to
or your dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Woo, go dads. And also, you know, the other issues that the child was experiencing, like the ear infections, difficulty sleeping, those were also resolved as well. Yeah.
So cool.
Like we were just saying.
Parents are so much happier when a child sleeps.
Well, it's necessary.
Yeah. I mean, so is a child.
Everyone can
honestly.
Sleep. If the child
wins.
Sleeps. But like, you know, you improve in one area, you improve in all areas. Like, I mean,
you
it's
can.
Just
Yeah,
amazing.
One thing leads to other. One good thing leads to many others.
One thing leads to another.
Yeah, we had that in season 1. We ended with that, so we can't reuse that one for our outro.
No.
But
we'll have to find something else.
Are we still talking
sure,
like we're going to leave this?
Yeah, I'm sure this organically will come, you know.
Hmm.
Anna, what did you have?
Yeah, so I had a patient study revolving atopic eczema. And they wanted to assess
what's atopic eczema.
I assume just on the skin.
Yeah.
Lesions on the skin.
Okay.
Something you can see pretty.
Mm-hmm. And to measure the effect of the treatment, it was developed through a range of systems of recording. So like questionnaires, pictures, honestly, the before and after picture.
Yeah, before and after pictures. That's big.
But eventually through the technique here.
Yeah, similar technique that we use.
The results showed that there was marked improvement in the eczema symptoms following that chiropractic care over a 7-week period.
7 weeks, that's it.
Mm-hmm, 7 weeks, and just helped with the symptoms of the eczema, edema, and honestly, psychological ease.
Wow. Because, I mean, eczema, that can affect your how you feel about yourself, mm-hmm. like, can affect your self-esteem. I mean, because, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like a skin, like, rash. Is that what it kind of looks like? Is it really itchy or something?
Typically, it is. And it's, I mean, it can result in anxiety because if you're itching consistently, I'm sure that'll...
You were mentioning edema, so, like, causes, like, swelling and everything as
redness.
Well.
Plus, if a child is really uncomfortable, they're going to... scratch it a lot. It's going to keep opening.
Can't stop them. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and they tried to treat it with, you know, the steroid creams, everything. And, you know, that's obviously just treating the symptoms, not getting to the
underlying. And then what happens when you start using lots of steroid creams? What do you start, how you put, continually put steroids?
Think about it. Yeah. Breaks down gut bacteria, mm-hmm. can affect health in general.
Wow. That's amazing. That's awesome.
I see a lot of people with eczema. And yeah, sometimes it gets a lot better and sometimes it doesn't. But usually when it doesn't, diet has a big factor. And so I always talk about inflammatory foods, dairy. That's a big one people have allergies to, or skin sensitivities or reactions of some sort. Even if they don't have an allergy, they might have a sensitivity. Grains. I know with my 10-year-old, he'll get eczema in the winter a lot of times. What are they doing in winter usually? Eating junkier foods.
Eating junk food, yeah.
But then also the colder weather, it responds a lot, like in his hands. So I find he has to build, get more frequent care adjusting wise. And then I also has to build up with essential oils, like essential fatty acids, fish oil, things like that, to help support internally. So that awesome. And then immune system support, which we usually recommend Conjuplex. We talked about that last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that can help support the immune function. And a good chiropractic care regimen is really essential.
So weird, because I was just thinking whenever y'all, I haven't even thought about this in ages, but I used to be allergic to cold. I know, sounds crazy. Wow. I grew up in New Hampshire. My parents would be kind of freaked out by it. I would get these hives all up and down my arms, especially whenever I used to run, I still do, I go outside and run mornings, early morning, and when it's cold outside, just red, itchy bumps all up and down my arms, my forearms. And I don't get it anymore. I haven't had it like for the last, I mean, since I've been getting adjusted regularly.
That's interesting, because just last week you were away.
Yeah.
And you were in freezing cold temperatures.
I was back in New Hampshire.
And nothing there? You climbed up a snow mountain. We
I
saw
did.
Pictures.
Oh, yes.
And no hives?
No hives,
that
no
is
nothing.
Phenomenal.
It's insane. Like, I didn't even think about it. It's been
That's
so
a cool
now.
Thing. I love this to hear this in chiropractic, when people forget things
were
a thing. I had the same phenomena in many ways. Things would go away, and then like 6 months later, I'd be like, wait, oh yeah, I used to have that thing that used to happen all the time, these weird things, and now that I don't, because I'm staying regularly adjusted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Body works how it's supposed to, more efficiently. Wow. How cool.
That's so cool.
Super cool.
So speaking of bumps on skin, Sarah.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, right? She's about to talk about some icky bumps.
Well, I have this article about people with acne and how chiropractic can help with that. Many people suffer from painful and embarrassing skin issues such as acne, and it gives you, you know, poor feeling of self-image, low confidence. And fortunately, a wide variety of common skin issues can be affected with the help of chiropractic care. Studies have shown that adjustments help people suffering with acne and alleviated symptoms such as inflammation and pimples.
Wow.
I would never think of, I wouldn't be like, hey, I've got, you know, a wedding to go to this weekend. I've obviously got, like, I'm breaking out. I need to go get adjusted.
Right?
Like, I wouldn't, like, it's just not like...
And I can't claim, honestly, that, hey, we cure acne, but again, you know, if there's some reaction...
So many
reaction.
Things go into it. I mean, because, you know, stress, allergies, hormone imbalances, those are all things that cause acne.
Yeah.
It's like adrenal stress.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, like, chiropractic ties right in with that, because
with adrenal
when you're healthy, your adrenal glands are working right, your hormones are in balance,
and you can detox better, probably.
Exactly. And so it can help your skin look clearer.
That's right.
That's awesome. I love that study.
I just don't even think that is really interesting.
And then when you combine it with diet and other factors too, how much even better it gets. So we talk about that a lot too,
right? Because you change, like, for your skin, you know, with your diet, improving your health care, your skincare routines, drinking more water, and it helps minimize it. But also the chiropractic, you know, getting everything in order is going to help that too.
You take a look at all, that's why I say it's not one thing, it's all things. Look at a very wide. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because your adrenal health gets better, you're feeling less stressed. Hey, I feel like wanting to take a walk this morning because I feel better. And then, like, hey, I took a walk this morning and I feel better. I think I'm going to eat healthier today, you know, and just so on and so forth, this domino effect of just like...
of all goodness.
Yes. Feeling amazing.
Sweet.
So speaking of adrenals, thinking about the leading causes of hair loss are...
Yeah, let's talk about hair.
Yeah, thyroid issues, hypothyroidism, hormone imbalance, which is affected, like chiropractic can... is related to
it
that.
Can be. I mean, yeah. Look, I come from the 80s, there's hair band time. Okay, not to make light of this, but hair was a big thing. And I'm from New Jersey, which, you know, hair, you know.
Hair band, like bear, hair, like
Bon Jovi, yes, Guns N' Roses, Cinderella, Rat, Dokken.
Did you have hair like that?
Let's not talk about that.
How long was your hair?
I had very luxurious hair. Ooh. In the 80s and 90s. A
she's
very
so
feathered,
glow.
Farrah Fawcett style hair. And, but to this day, obviously people, you know, very concerned about hair, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but there are many reasons why we might be losing hair. And some of it, you know, if it's a male, you know, that could be male pattern thing. That's a genetic thing. But if it's, something that's maybe premature or related to other systems, think about what could affect it. Thyroid is one thing, adrenal glands, another thing, hormone regulation, another thing. So what controls thyroid? I look at the lower neck, the nerves at the lower part of the neck, C7, C8 nerve, which is, there's no C8 bone, but there's a nerve underneath C7 bone, mm-hmm. which is called C8 nerve, and T1. Also, those nerves control thyroid. So if there's a forward head position or like a reverse in the neck where the neck is going the wrong direction, how are those nerves working? At the lower part of the neck.
Not
it's like
it should be.
Yeah. It's like you're trying to hold a bowling ball like a foot in front or 2-3 feet in front of you. How fatiguing will that be for your arm, your elbow, your shoulder?
It sounds unsustainable.
Your low back. Yeah. You can't do that for long. So when the neck is like that, and for a lot of us, it's been like that for 20 to 30 years. Mm-hmm. What gets the brunt of the problem? The nerves at that part of the spinal cord and nervous system, which is what controls thyroid. It also controls your heart and lungs though. So I'm not just saying it's about hair, but that's what we're talking about right now. Another thing that can affect hair is the adrenals. Think about it. When you're stressed out, a lot of times people are losing hair. Mm. So the adrenal glands, we've been talking about this for weeks and weeks now, but they're under the control of around T10 in the nervous system. T10, T11, that's the lower thoracics. For women, it's right around the bra strap area, upper lumbar, lower thoracic. The other thing that affects it is the brainstem. If you look at what's connected, the brainstem sends information. That's basically at the base of your skull. It sends information that deals with hormone regulation, immune system, energy, focus, sleep, digestion, just about every process. So if that signal isn't getting where it needs to go, then usually the lower neck and the lower thoracic and then the lower back all is related and has to react. So you're going to have problems potentially with hormone regulation, endocrine function, which is basically your sex glands, and then potentially thyroid and adrenals are also, it's all part of the same little, what they call the axis, the HPT axis, hypothalamus, which is the brain, mm-hmm. pituitary, thyroid, and then also you add the A because that's adrenals. It's all in this like little safety pin. Okay. If you have misalignment somewhere in any of those areas that controls those things, safety pin's open. That means signals cannot go around and around and around. And
it gets lost.
Yeah, they get lost or altered or skewed in some way, so it's not appropriate or optimal. So yes, the body can react in many different ways. Symptoms, that's not a cause, it's a symptom of the misalignment or the irritation to the nervous system, which for one person, it might be hair loss. For another person, it might be energy or fatigue or, you know, digestive issues. But as far as hair goes, we need to make sure we're addressing the thyroid, need to be addressing adrenals, and it's probably most important.
Also really interesting is I was reading about protein absorption. So they're talking about how it's so important to be able to properly absorb protein in order to have
metabolized
healthy hair.
Yeah.
And, if our digestive system isn't working correctly, then we're not absorbing protein. Or, I mean, even if we're eating lots of protein, which a lot of people are doing, those protein diets where they're eating tons of protein, but are they digesting it? Are they absorbing it the
and
way we should?
Utilizing it.
Yeah.
Right. Or is it just being gotten rid of, mm-hmm. and not utilized, which the body will do when it doesn't have the absorption potential. So what controls the gut and absorption? Nerve-wise, that's the lower lumbar area, anywhere between L2 and L5 in sacrum, which is the lowest part of the back.
It's like what people complain about all the time.
And some of it reverberates from organs to body, so you feel pain because the organs are not working well, and some of it's the other way around. The body's out of alignment, so then the organs don't work well.
And so don't you always tell us too that, like, whenever we feel the pain, like that's the alarm system.
That's
like,
the last ditch effort.
So everything else functionally is already suffering because
symptoms are the last. Yeah,
the alarms are going off at this point. So we already feel the pain.
So the fire's already raging. Then the alarm goes off. So that's the hard part with this system, because you have to have about a 70% compression to any nerve to have a symptom. How long have we lived with certain problems that have not necessarily been symptoms, or how have we gotten used to these symptoms thinking they're normal? Then all of a sudden when we start correcting it, like we found in our office a lot, like the other day, somebody was just saying how amazing, you did a checkup, Amanda, on a patient just yesterday who was saying all these amazing things were happening and, you know, they're sleeping and they're feeling better and they've got better energy and all these things that, you know, just in a few weeks, we've been working with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so
I didn't even know you could feel that good.
That's what they were saying. Like, I didn't even know this stuff was a problem until I started correcting it and functioning better. And that's really cool.
Like,
that's the secret sauce.
You know, like I forgot.
You
forgot
you didn't. Yeah. When you were running.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Didn't know you could feel this good.
It is awesome.
That's the magic of chiropractic. Like, more life out of your years, not just...
And more years.
Years out of,
in your life.
You get both, but the quality is like what's so fantastic.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out in blaze of glory, being extremely healthy.
So you're going to be like ice skating.
Yeah.
Blaze.
No, blaze.
Not blaze.
Bon Jovi, not okay. Will Ferrell.
Not Will Ferrell. Okay.
So
I can see you in ice skates. The Olympics are going on right now. I can see Dr. Lee out there.
Honestly, what I tell people, like, seriously, what's your goal in life? Like, do you want to back into, I hate to say aging, but like as you grow older, do you want to like be stuck in a chair, like withering away? Or do you want to be thriving and playing with your grandkids and great grandkids and traveling and seeing the world and spending the retirement years doing things that are adventurous? Or you just want to exist, you know, and wither away? I feel like we all deserve, you know, to thrive. And so putting the time in now and the effort in now, it's investment. It's not paying, it's investing in yourself and your health.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for the
enjoying problem. The years now and then also investing in those twilight years that are happening later. Yeah. I don't want to just wither away in a chair.
Me neither.
So I know that you were going to talk about scoliosis.
Yeah.
Scoliosis?
School you on scoliosis.
There we go.
Scoliosis. We get a lot of questions about this, so I'm glad, Anna, you're bringing this up. So hit us.
Yeah, well, I just found one specific study, actually back in 2006. So back then.
Way back in the day.
Way back.
Oh my gosh, that's the year I graduated from chiropractic school.
I was born in 97. I was almost 10.
This week, we're going to drop this podcast is going to be the 16-year anniversary of my graduation from Palmer College of Chiropractic in Iowa. And that was 2006. Woo-hoo. That's 16 years ago. That feels like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
Sometimes.
Were you there?
I was there in the year. Really like in 2006, I was
around.
She was around.
Alive in 2006,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I was in middle school kicking it.
I'm done talking to all of
you. I've been sick to my stomach here for about 6 seconds now. Right. Thank you, Amanda, for putting this
in
our place.
Sorry.
So, that year, they did a study on three different subjects. One was a 37-year-old female who chief complaint was neck and back pain. We see that a lot here. She ended up having scoliosis by the 35th degree.
Meaning like a 35 degree scoliosis, which means it's curved 35 degrees. That is pretty significant. To call it a scoliosis, usually it's about 20 or more. 35 is usually they're talking surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That second one, around the 22.
22 degrees. 22. Yeah, that's just
at
the cusp.
What kind of surgery would they do?
It's pretty serious. They open up the person and they put a rod in there and force the bones to straighten out, because they wrap the rod, you know, wrap them around the rod. And it goes from 30 whatever degrees to close to straight in like a few minutes or hours, you know? And so the person typically, they don't really talk about this much, but the person's usually in a ton of pain for possibly a few months after the surgery. And it's very drastic and there's no way to undo it. You know, it's not like you're going to take the rods out. Usually once they're in.
So what does it do? Like if your nerves have been that way for that long and then you're straightening them out and like
untwisting. I mean, you would think that's what you want to do. You want it to be that way. So there's less pressure on the nerves. I'm not sure. You know, like, I don't think anybody knows the degree of change from like a 30 or 35 degree curve to less than that, a lot less than that in one swoop. So I don't know how they would affect. I mean, you would think that's better that they're not being twisted like that, but I would think gradual would be a better way to do it. But I don't know that they've really tracked it with any studies to see the ramifications of that. Functional. I know that people still have impairments after those surgeries. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are very functional and great, but there's certain things you can and can't do when you have a pretty giant rod in the back. You know? So certain things like maybe not horseback riding, maybe not doing some amusement park type stuff, or, you know, there's certain things.
You don't have that same flexibility.
There's no, and there's not a lot of shock absorption and things like that. So I'm not saying, look, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that. But I mean, I don't know why I just thought of that, but just, like, we have a lot of patients that I talk to and that say, you know, give us feedback on that stuff. So over the years I've kind of learned, I had a little bit of a curve, probably since I was 11 or 12, which went away when I started getting adjusted, but nobody told me to go to a chiropractor. They told me to go to the pediatrician. The pediatrician said, what? Let's watch it. Let's wait. Mm-hmm. And now the current me says, wait for what? It to get worse, which is going to happen if you leave a curve curved with gravity hitting it. Why wouldn't it get worse? That's what happens. So sorry to be excited about this, but like get them in. I'm sorry. I interrupted your.
No, yeah.
But get them in. Let's look at it. Let's not really let it wait till it gets worse. Let's start working on it. Even if we keep it the same, it's stopping it from getting worse, which is better. So tell me about this study.
Yeah. So these ages range from 20 to 37. So obviously kind of later on in life, but in that third subject was the 23-year-old, the youngest, but she did have the most 37 degree
curve.
But they were measured through x-rays and a Cobb angle.
Cobb angle is how you measure the amount of curve. So you take the top of the curve and the bottom of the curve and you measure the angle difference. So that's something we can use in our radiology software when we take an x-ray. It's very easy.
But over a 12-week period of adjustments and home care treatments, they followed up with post-treatment x-rays, and they saw a pretty significant or measurable amount of difference. So, for example, the first patient had the initial 35 degree. It ended up showing a 13 degree reduction.
Wait. 13 degrees?
A 13 degree reduction from
that's
that
35. Awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, and how long?
12 weeks.
Okay. That is unheard of. That's 4 months, right? Wow. Or is that 3 months? It's 3 months.
Yeah, three months.
And this is the 35-year-old, 37-year-old?
That is the first one. She
37.
Is, yeah, 37.
37-year-old.
Yeah. A little later
with
in life.
35-degree curve went down to 22 degrees, which is almost not even a scoliosis, like a few degrees more, and it's not considered a scoliosis officially. That is
The one that kind of blew my mind was the 23-year-old went from 37 decrease of 16 over 12 weeks.
Oh, I mean, that's almost a non-measurable scoliosis. It's still 20 degrees is still a lot, but
it's huge
still better than
way better.
Huge difference.
So imagine in time, another year.
Yeah, that's 3 months.
Imagine a year, two, three, four. Maybe it won't get perfect. Maybe it'll be 10 degrees, 15 degrees, but is that not healthier than 37? And what would happen if we didn't touch it? It's going to go worse and worse and worse, 40, 45, 50. And that's debilitating because if you think about how, I've seen some pretty twisted spines in my time here, 16 years of x-raying and analyzing and adjusting people. And the most dysfunctional curves, you know, think of how twisted that spinal cord has to be when it's curved 35, 40 degrees and how much there's going to be a reactionary or a compensatory curve elsewhere, meaning there's going to be another one because you're not just going to walk around like with your head angled to the side. You know, you're going to fix it and there's going to be a reaction curve up top. So there's always two, I shouldn't say always. There's often two, maybe three, if it's a lot of compensation. So think about all the other areas, too, that are affected by that.
Is it true that a lot of people don't know? Well, the reason why I said later on in life is because a lot of people don't know they have scoliosis till later.
Much.
When they're
often
adults.
I mean, often when they're coming in here at 30, 40, and 50.
It's amazing.
I've had people in their 50s and 60s had no clue. Maybe they told me I might and I should follow up on it, but my parents just never took me, or, you know, whatever the answer is. Or we did go and they said, let's watch and wait. Again, my least favorite thing that anybody ever says, let's watch and wait for it to be worse.
And they've had decades of dysfunction.
And they compensate so much that they get used to it. This is my normal. This is normal. Oh, it's normal to be XYZ.
Fatigued, headached.
And pain and dysfunctional. It's not right. So this is why we're here screaming from the rooftops. Don't wait. Don't just come in when you're hurting. Let's take care of you and keep you well for as long as you're able to be here in this world. Why not be thriving?
Yeah.
Always be thriving. ABT, that's my motto.
Well, I mean, we hear that from people a lot. Like a lot of patients come in here like, you guys always seem like you're in a really good mood.
Yesterday we had that comment from two different people. You really have such a great team here, they say. And I should repeat that to you guys because I keep it to myself. Like, you got the best team. I'm like, yeah. I mean,
you have a lot of energy. Like,
I don't pay people to smile.
What vitamins are you on? I'm like, we get adjusted.
We get adjusted regularly. We're happy because we have a good culture here and we
feel good.
Love taking care of people. And like I always say, look, I came from hospitality in my early career. For 6 or 7 years having jobs after selling shoes. I was a front desk person, a bell person, a concierge. I ran several hotels in the New Jersey, Vermont, and Birmingham areas. And taking care of people was our, way of life. Yeah. So that kind of translates to what we do here. Okay. We take care of people. With a smile, we're
and
happy
each other.
To see people. Yeah, happy to take care of each other.
So much love, good
and,
energy,
and training. Always training together and learning and enhancing
and
our
getting passionate.
Skills.
I mean, we're always talking about. I mean, you guys get to hear us on this podcast, but I mean, this is us all day, like every day. Like, hey, did you guys hear about this? Did you read this? We
get excited.
Members of a lot of journals, and we like, hey, like I saw this, and get to share it with each other, and it's an amazing culture.
And with that, we will bid adieu for another episode of Chronic Health, the wellness podcast of Greystone Chiropractic. If you have questions or want to discuss anything or send us any information or questions, please feel free to email office@greystonechiropractor.com, or you can always text us 205-981-8090. For the whole crew here at Greystone Chiropractic, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you on the Flippity. 6 a.m.